life, and it has its own power to save. And I pray, Lord, as your word is ministered this morning, let it pierce hearts, O God, and bring forth salvation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask that you will help me in the delivery of this message this morning, that even though not all might be able to bear it, O Lord, hearts that it enters to that calls upon you, that you'll grant the grace, Father, to make us what we cannot become of ourselves. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, we'll be looking at a new topic, the topic of discipleship. How many disciples did the Lord Jesus have? Exam 101. How many disciples did Jesus have? 70, 12. How many? Nobody knows. Eh? Sister Kike takes it to the PhD level before or after. BC or AD. How many disciples? Well, the Bible did not tell us how many disciples, because he had many, many disciples. Out of all the disciples before he died, he chose 12 to be apostles. But we normally say the 12 disciples, but he had many disciples. And today we're going to look at who is a disciple and the costs of becoming a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, many of us have read this before, but I pray that the Lord will help us to pull some things out that we might not have been able to see before. Amen. I read from the book of Matthew. Matthew is the first book in the, what we call the New Testament. So if you go from Genesis, just keep going. If you see Psalms, keep going. If you see Zephaniah, keep going. If you see Malachi, you're nearly there. Matthew chapter 16. Does anybody have the Amplified Bible? Do we have it online? Okay. Will somebody please open to this same Matthew 16? We're going to read the Amplified, and I'll need somebody's help. Let me see. Tommy, do you have it? Amplified Bible. The Bible with an amplifier. You don't have it. Sister Comfort, please, do you have it? You don't have it. Okay. Brother Tunde has it. So Brother Tunde will help me in the reading. So, but first of all, I'll read the passage, and, you know, we're going to be taking this same topic for the next few weeks as the Lord helps us to understand and to break this down. You know, when, by the time we finish this, you would see why the Lord Jesus Christ had only 12 apostles. Amen. Matthew 16, I read from verse 13. When Jesus came into the borders of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? I, the Son of Man, am." And they said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Some say you are Jeremiah, others one of the prophets." But he said unto them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona," that is son of Jonah, "for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto you, that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged his disciples and said that no, and told them, tell no man that I am Jesus the Christ. They should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and from the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. This same Peter, just a few seconds ago, began to rebuke him, saying, let it be far from you. You will not die. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense unto me, for you do not savor the things that are of God, but that are of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there are some standing here that will not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Amen. So, Brother Tunde, please help me read verse 24, because that is where I want us to focus on today. Verse 24.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to follow me as my disciple, he must deny himself, set aside selfish interests, and take up his cross, expressing the willingness to endure whatever may come, and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living, and if need be, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me.
Thank you. So just hold that. We are going to break that down. So let me start with what we are going to be looking at in this next few weeks. I call it the cost of discipleship. Please note that word. And I use that word particularly, the costs. You know, some people, pastors like to do this. I don't really like it, but today I will do it. Everybody say the costs. The costs of discipleship. All right. So the story goes, the Lord Jesus Christ asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? Everybody was saying this and that until Simon, the son of Jonah, said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you know something? Before this period, Jesus Christ had been doing miracles, right? He had been teaching them. He had been performing miracles. Before this time, who else had called Jesus the Son of God? Thank you. Who else? Somebody said John. John. No. Who else had called Jesus this? You are the Son of God. There were only two occasions before this time where Jesus had been called the Son of God. The first occasion was when the angel came to the mother of Jesus and said that the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, Mary. And this seed that is rising inside of you, he shall be known as the Son of God. The angel of God was the first person that acknowledged that this Jesus will be Son of God. The second time, as Brother Wale said, was when a demon was being cast out. And that demon said, you are the Son of God. And Jesus said, shut up. Because he did not want anybody to know who he was before the time. And here, he began to ask all of them, his disciples. Look at what they said. Some people say that you are who? Elijah. You are Jeremiah. You are John the Baptist incarnate. What do you call it? No, reincarnation, reincarnated. But then, Peter said, you are the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus Christ answer? He said that flesh and blood, that is human beings, did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven, which means that until that moment, even the disciples of Jesus, they did not know that he was the Son of God. It was God himself that revealed it unto Peter that this person in your midst is the Son of God. I don't know how they missed it. Because at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, a voice came from heaven and said that this is my words, my Son in whom I'm well pleased. But you know something, which is part of what we're going to be looking at today. There are some things that stare us in the face, but it doesn't become obvious until God reveals it. It can stare you in the face, but it will not become obvious until God revealed it. And you know, the next thing that happened after Simon Peter made that revelation, the Bible said in verse 21, from that time forth, what did Jesus Christ begin to do? His message changed. Before then, it was my kingdom, my kingdom. He was telling them about the kingdom. The kingdom of, and we've done some studies about that kingdom that he's talking about. But after that revelation, he no longer talked about the kingdom. His message changed. He began to talk about what? His death, his suffering. And that was why Peter could say, what's happening? You die. No, 5B from you. The person who walked on water, the person who stilled the waters will die. It won't happen. But there was something behind it. Now, that same kingdom that Jesus Christ had been talking about, he said to Peter, he will give him the keys of the kingdom. And then he said that those who will come after him to be the disciples of that kingdom, the first cost or the first quality of those people will be that they will do what? They will deny what? Themselves. What does it mean to deny yourself? Brother Tunde, please, go into the amplifier. What does it mean to deny ourselves? Because this thing we are talking about is for who? If anyone will do what? If you want to follow Jesus, this is the cost of following Jesus. Brother Tunde, wait 1 second. Before we go into that, please, how many of us are accountants here beside Brother Peter and Sister Folake? Is there any other accountant? Who? Sister Book is, I've forgotten. Sister Biss is also an accountant. There are plenty. Well, good. Fine. So we want to do a quick accounting lecture. So Sister Bookie, Sister BC, Sister Kike. Sister Kike is also, that's true. I didn't know we had so many accountants. So, all right, accountancy 101, please. What is the difference between cost and price? Yes, what is the difference between cost and price? If you know it, no, you're not accountant, so you can't say it. You say cost and price. What's the difference? Where's Brother Peter? No, it's not online. You are your accountant. You're supposed to know. It's not online. Don't go there. Sister BC, come here, please. Don't go and research. Come. I don't. No, if you're not an accountant, don't put up your hand. Let us put the accountants to shame first. Okay. The price is the final cost.
No, the final amount or the total amount that you pay for a product.
Okay, that's the price.
Yes.
What's the cost?
The cost is, I'll go with maybe cost of goods sold. So it's going to be the how much it costs you to get that product.
You're nearly there.
The profit and every other
thing. You're nearly there. You're not there exactly. Nearly there. Okay, son of the accountants, what's it? No, don't read it. Don't read it. Oh, your father is telling you online. No, I don't want that one. I don't want that one. All right, let's go to the non-accountants now. Oh, you wanted to say something? Okay. So go back to read your book. Oh. Okay, Sister Buki, go back to read your book. Okay, non-accountants now. Sorry, okay, thank you. What's the difference between cost and price?
Well, the cost is the amount that an organization spends to produce a particular product.
Thank you.
To put on the market.
As you didn't say it fully, the cost is the total amount to produce a product. If you're writing an exam, I'll give you half.
Okay. And then the price would be the amount of revenue generated from sale.
You missed that one. No.
Price is what you put.
The costs. Let's say I'm going to produce Brother Ali's shirts. Okay. To produce his shirt, what would I need? I'll need material. What else? Labor. What else? Transportation. Exactly. I'll need a building. I'll need storage. I'll need sewing machine. I'll need thread. All that thing to produce one of those shirts is the cost to produce the shirts. That's the cost. Now, what I sell the shirt for is the price. So if what I sell the shirt for is less than the cost of producing it, what have I made? A loss. If the price I sell it for is more than the cost of producing it, what have I made? Do you understand the difference between cost and price now? Now, I'm going to teach you about the cost of discipleship, not the price of discipleship. Let's go. Ratunde.
Where am I reading from? 24.
16 verse 24.
Okay. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to follow me as my disciple, he must deny himself, set aside selfish interests.
Okay, one by one. If you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow me, you will deny yourself. What does it mean to deny yourself? Sister Tola, what does it mean to deny yourself? Some spirits catch you. You wouldn't like that.
Not to to not give yourself to sacrifice actually.
To sacrifice.
Yeah.
How? You burn yourself on fire.
No. So you give up something.
You give up something. Okay. Thank you. She gives up something. Like what? Give us an example of what you give up.
To give up social media.
Social media. Okay. That's a denial. What else? Who else? To deny yourself. You said something.
Yes, I was just saying is to sacrifice everything that you was doing for yourself.
Okay.
And then give up your life to
let's make
people.
It concrete. Concrete. Like what? Like what do you sacrifice? Your time. But time, I can't hold time. So how do I sacrifice my time?
I sacrifice money.
Okay. You sacrifice money. Okay. Give me an example of how you sacrifice money.
If I was working,
mm-hmm.
and I want to be this disciple of Christ,
mm-hmm.
following Christ, I cannot be working.
Okay.
I gotta give my life.
Okay.
And do what Christ was doing, preaching.
Okay.
Block to block.
So what you're saying is that nobody can be a disciple of Christ if you're working.
No. Well, basically, for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go on. Because that's why we're making it concrete so we can understand this thing. Okay? Sister Landy. No, Sister Landy is what I said.
You deny yourself for something you like. So for me, it's candy.
Candy.
Then.
For you, it's candy. So if you give up candy, you are denying yourself.
Yes.
Somebody else. Sister Ronki. And then Sister. Eh? Oh, I didn't see you. Sorry. Okay. Okay, Sister Ronki, Sister Jackie, and Sister... You see, it's only the women giving up something, no? Only one man has given up something. All right. And Finn. Oh, she's... Okay. Oh, yeah. Let's go.
You give up relationships.
You give up relationships. Give me an example. Make it concrete. We want to make it concrete.
I mean, so...
So you give up your husband?
I mean, no. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay, so you said give up. That's what I'm saying now.
There are certain people you'll probably hang out with. Uh-huh. And, you know, maybe they're telling you, let's go to places where you do not, you know, if you're trying to be a disciple for Christ. So, like, so, preaching the word.
Like, give up a friend.
Perhaps.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Perhaps.
Drinking. I take that also. Sister Jackie?
Okay, so... This is Lenten season. I'm not a Catholic, but I just want to give up something. I love fish. I don't eat meat,
okay,
but I love fish. And the particular fish that I love is snapper.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I decided not to eat snapper. And I have given up friends that I used to go drink. I used to drink red wine. Mm-hmm. I love it before.
Okay.
So now I have given that up.
You've given up red wine?
Yes.
And fish?
Yes.
Oh, you didn't
for give... now,
for
this
now.
Lenten season. Okay. But the red wine is permanent that I've given up.
Okay.
So if you really want to be in a partnership with Christ,
yes,
you have to give up something that you like a relationship, she said.
Okay.
Friends that we hang out, go to the nightclub. You don't want to do that no more.
Okay.
You really want to serve God. Your hearts, you have to change your hearts. Certain things you don't want to do anymore. Certain words you don't want to speak.
Okay.
Because I used to have this careless mouth. So now, I think before I talk,
okay,
I have to be careful what I say because I really want to serve God. I want to be in that role of serving my Lord. So things that I give up is things that I used to just snap and say.
Okay.
So I don't say that no more.
You are giving up some food and some words.
Yes.
Okay. Pin. Mm-hmm. That's general.
Things that are not in line with God's will for you. Like when he said working, I disagreed with him because I don't think working is against God's will for you.
No, say your own. Everybody
okay,
say their own.
Okay.
If he doesn't want to work, that's fine.
No.
Say your own.
Things like swearing, particular relationships, or things that you have made idols above God.
Okay, so words, bad words, basically.
Yes.
And people who are bad in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sister BC.
Doing what I others first.
What do you mean by others first? Because it says give up.
Maybe my time, money that I would have spent on myself.
Okay.
I'd rather use it to help someone.
Okay, helping someone.
Yes.
All right, very good. Now, we've all talked about things, you know, things very close and dear to us. But I want us to go a little bit further to understand what the cost of discipleship is. And I'm emphasizing that word again, what the cost of discipleship is. Brother Tunde, please read that passage again.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to follow
me. If you want to follow me. As my disciple.
He must deny himself.
You must first of all deny what? Deny what?
So
yourself. Yourself. Then do what?
Take up his cross.
Take up your cross. 1 second. Okay. Take up your cross. Okay. What did the cross do in those times? Brother Wale? Okay. Take up
his cross.
His cross. Thank you. Okay, so that is your talking, yes, your own. Yes, so if you want to follow him, deny yourself, take up your cross. Okay. Or that man or woman who will follow me will deny him or herself, take up his or her cross to follow me. Now, let us go to cross and then come back to self. The cross in the times of Jesus, that was what was a cross?
It was capital punishment.
It was capital punishment.
Yes.
In our time, it would be like saying, you, if you want to follow me, you will deny yourself and sit in an electric chair. Because there was only one thing a cross did at that time. It was only to kill. It did nothing else. And it was the way they invented a cross, the cross was invented by the Romans. Actually, it wasn't a cross that was invented by Romans. It was a form of capital punishment called crucifixion that was invented by the Romans. And the Romans, they did not look for a way to kill you the fastest way. They looked for the slowest, most agonizing way to kill a human being. That was how they came with that method of killing called crucifixion. And in crucifixion, the way people died was that they will put you on a cross, spread, you know, everything spread like that. Number one, before they put you on that cross, they will have beaten you. You are weak. Then when they put you on that cross, they will break your leg so that you won't be able to, of course, the pain, you won't be able to stand on that leg, okay? As you are standing on, being on the cross, this death is very slow. Sometimes it takes hours, sometimes it takes days. Because what happens eventually is that for you to take a breath, you have to lift yourself up to take a breath. So on a broken leg, to lift yourself up to take a breath is like you are drowning. Doctors, you know how fluid fills your lung because of the beating and everything. And then to take a breath, you have to go up and then you go down again. And so it is a very excruciating, painful death until some people die the day after, some people die 2 days after. So they look for the slowest, most painful way to kill a person. That's how they killed. And the cross was a symbol. So when Jesus said, take up your cross, those who are hearing him, they understood what he meant. So the first thing he said, deny yourself. He did not say deny yourself of. What did I say? He did not say deny yourself of words, money. He said, deny yourself. What is self? Mm-mm. Who you are. That's it. Your life, your money, your children, whatever it is about you, you have to deny yourself. And now let's go to what that means to deny yourself. Before I go to what that means to deny yourself, let me tell you something. Is it a crime to have a child? No. Okay. So what Jesus is telling you and me and all of us, he's not asking you to deny yourself of wrong things like lying. That you is already dealt with. He's now saying that legitimate things which are rightfully yours, which can be rightfully yours, you have to deny yourself. So he's not saying what is wrong. Things that are right. If there's a right, there must be a what? A wrong. So he's saying that if somebody wrongs you and you come to God, Lord, this person has wronged me. Please make it right. He can tell you that right, deny yourself of it. So it is not only bad things, legitimate good things that are rights. He can tell you, deny yourself of it. And how do we come to that place of denial? It is where Christ becomes uppermost and number one in everything, that Christ can make any demand upon your life for even what is legitimate. the what of discipleship? The cost of discipleship. So what I'm talking about now are the cost of manufacturing a disciple. Those overhead. Because it is a very expensive thing to manufacture a disciple. But unfortunately, in the church today, we have paraded the price of discipleship, which is anybody just pay the price you want to become a disciple. Whether it is as a loss, it doesn't matter. Whatever price you want to pay, whatever you want Christ to be, just pay that price. You're a disciple. No, Jesus has never made a loss. He will never make you a disciple less than the costs of manufacturing disciples, true disciples of himself. Deny yourself. And Jesus himself did not change from what he demanded of his disciples. Now, let's look at some examples of people who followed this thing. To, you know, we might say, Sister Afolake. You don't understand. Which one don't you understand? The last sentence I talk about. Okay. If I say Sister Jackie, I come to your business, okay? No, I come to your business. You and your sister, your father has left you land. Your sister says, I want to sell the land. You say, no, we're not selling our father's land. And you come to Jesus in prayer. Jesus, my sister wants to do me wrong. Please help me make it right. And Jesus tells you, Jackie, leave the land to your sister. Just come follow me. Will you agree? You will agree. Okay. If Jesus says, Jackie, John, I will take care of him. Just come follow me. Forget about him. Thank you, Sister Jackie. Abraham did it. Okay. And it is a good reaction because you are being authentic. You say, John, me, the only one, that one. But that is the cost of discipleship, my sister. You see, yes, it is not a low bar. But in the church, we have sold discipleship about Jesus at a very low price. And so people are paying any price to call themselves disciples. Meanwhile, the cost of being a disciple, it is a very high bar. It is a very high bar. You come to God, my husband has done me wrong. Lord, please make it right for me. And Jesus is telling you, let it go. Just follow me. Just follow me. You deny yourself of even that which is legitimate because Christ demands it of you. You see, nobody has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit has to have monopoly on anybody who will be a disciple of him. If you want to be a disciple, he has to rule you. You see what we are saying, we want, you know, that discipleship. When we talked about deny ourselves, well, we'll deny ourselves of coffee, maybe some food. No. You know, yes, it's good. You'd fast. You know, you deny yourself of, you give to the poor. But Jesus is asking you for your life. Not only for your things. Yes, my sister.
You're saying that
when you deny yourself, you basically lose yourself.
You lose your life. That is why I wanted you to clarify what it means to sacrifice yourself. Yes, it is sacrifice yourself, but you are not burning yourself on fire. But you are saying, Jesus, whatever you demand of me, I will do. If Jesus says, that child that is yours, I'm sending you somewhere, give that child to somebody to take care of, you say, Jesus, it's hard, but I will obey. That is the cost of making disciples. Then you come to the place where you carry your own cross. Like we say, that cross is a thing of death. And that death, you don't die it once and for all. You die it how many times? Daily. Let me tell you what daily death means. Sister Tola, you own a business. One of your co-workers says, Adatola, how you feel? Eh? And Jesus says, Tola, it is me that they're talking to, not you. So it's not for you to react. It is me. Because who owns you now? God. Because when you have given up, when you've denied yourself, it's not that you denied yourself and yourself, you've given up that ownership, that light. You've given it up to somebody else. You've given up to Jesus. So if somebody says, that idiot lady, who are they talking to? Jesus. You won't say, don't you know who I am? Because if you are still somebody, you are still alive. You're not dead yet. See, that's Tommy girl. Look at her. Because she has gone to university, she sings, she's everything. And you won't go, me? Mm-mm. Say, Lord Jesus, I give it up to you. Because me, I'm now in you. Because I've said, I will follow. Brakunle, did someone? Eh? Okay, Brakunle.
I was going to suggest ask that when you talk about cost, if you think about it in terms of, like you mentioned, the company, it's the things that you do to produce and make something. And in the case of a Christian, try to think, what are the things that we do that produces Christ in us? I guess as
no, exactly, Christ producing the disciple.
Right,
he's the one making, molding, shaping, right, manufacturing disciple, and he has set the costs this high.
Okay, so in that wise, but there's still an action the person has to do in order, yes, to pay the cost, right?
And what's that action you do?
Deny.
You die.
Yeah. So it's almost like joining the military, in essence.
That's, well...
Because
the military, you still have time to...
Some time off.
With Jesus...
example.
With Jesus, there's no time off.
Yeah, lifetime
because
member.
Because your life now belongs to him.
Right.
Your life now belongs to him. So if you want to take time off, Jesus, I'd like to take some time off. Now, let me even make it a little bit clearer to you, a little bit clearer to know what the demand of a disciple is. What we've always preached, and forgive me if you've heard this from my mouth as a preacher of God. If anybody has ever preached to you, come to Jesus. He will give you everything that you want, or all things will be well with you. Jesus never gave that guarantee to anybody. Jesus never gave that guarantee to anyone. All he said was, come, follow me. He did not say, if you follow me, I will. No. No. Rather, he said, if you follow me, your physical life, you may lose it. If you follow me, who you are, you will become a nonentity in me. Because what demands anybody places on you, they place on me. What demands I place on you, you do. That is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So it is not that if you follow Jesus, everything will be well. When the Lord Jesus Christ was showing me this, it now dawned on me. When one of our sisters was ill, and we prayed, expecting that God will heal this sister. Meanwhile, what God was saying that I have need of that sister because her work here was done. Her work here was done. So when Jesus says, I have need of your life, your physical life, you've given it up because it belongs unto him. Your money, who does it belong to? Then if Jesus says, go and give this money to this person, you will say, no, it's my money. Because you have given it all up to him. Then it made sense when the disciples in the Acts of Apostles, they brought all they had and put it in one pot. And there was nobody who was poor because they gave everybody as they needed. They could give it up to that one pot because they had given up all. Nothing belongs to any. Barnabas bought land because he had given up what? All. He had given up all. You can't claim ownership on yourself or nothing you own. That is what it means to deny self. Because Paul put it well. I am crucified with Christ in Galatians 2:20. Nevertheless, I what? I live. So I'm crucified, but I'm still alive. Yet it is not I that lives. It is Christ who does what? Who lives in me. It's good to give up bad words. It's good to give up some food, some drink. But Jesus, his demands are more than words, food, or drink. His demand is yourself. Who you are. Your career. Your house. Your money. What else? Sister Ronki. If Jesus demands it, yes. Yes. Very true. Okay, let me tell you the difference. Let me tell you the difference. The difference when I've seen such happen is that it was always transactional. Mm. If you give up this, God will give you this. If you give your seed, if you give your offering, God will give you a thousandfold return. God will give you this or that. Yes. Okay. So thank God that you are in a place where you can learn what you are learning. Because Jesus will never Jesus is not a merchant. He places demands without telling you, no. It's if you want it, period. Let's look at some things. When the rich young ruler came, that he was rich, right? Okay. He said, Master, or good words, good master, good rabbi. Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none but God who is good. Do you know what he was saying by that? If you've recognized that I am God, that is why you've come to me. Because there's nobody who is good but God. So, okay, what do you want? Master, good rabbi, good master, how can I gain eternal life? This was in Luke 18. Okay, how can I gain eternal life? What did Jesus say? No, before he said he didn't sell anything. The law, thou shalt not do, thou shalt not do this. Go and obey it. What did he tell Jesus? I've done everything from when I was a child. I have done all that from when I was a child. And Jesus looked at him because Jesus loved him. And Jesus said, but what? There's still one more thing. Because the master can place the demand. He said, go and sell all you have. Give it to poor. Then you can come and follow me. And the Bible said, that man went away sorrowful because he had great possession. He had a lot of money. Now, Sister Roki, did Jesus come after that man? Okay, you don't need to sell everything. Come back. What? Not that we know of. Okay. Did Jesus call him? Did Jesus say, oh, come back? What did Jesus do? Huh? The Bible says Jesus turned to his disciples. Left him. To let you know that Jesus will not transact with anybody. It's if you want it. When he called the disciples, he called Peter. They said that, was it Peter or John? Said they were casting, no, wasn't it Peter? Let me see. Can somebody open Matthew 14? Matthew 4. I think it was Matthew 4. 18 to 22. Yeah. Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brothers. Simon Peter, which is Simon Peter or Simon called Peter.
And Andrew, his brother.
And Andrew. So Simon and Andrew are brothers. What were they doing?
Casting a net into the sea.
They were casting their nets. Where were they? At work. Thank you. They were casting their nets because they were fishermen at work. Then what happened?
Then he said to them, follow me.
Jesus said.
For they were fishermen.
Okay.
And he said to them,
follow me.
And I will make you fishers of men.
And what happened?
They immediately left their nets.
So a few hours later, they followed Christ. Eh?
Immediately.
Oh, the next day they followed Christ.
Immediately.
They were at work. And they went back to carry some things, to pack some things. He said, immediately they left work, they left family. Okay, who was the first brother? Simon Peter. Do we know that Simon Peter had a wife? Did he go back to kiss the wife to say, Jesus has come, I'm following Jesus? No. Yes, it will have been. That is why the Bible says that if you are going to follow me, you have to hate. You will say that he hated his wife to have done that. Irresponsible. But Jesus is saying, I will take first priority above everything else. But do you know something? Because Peter followed Jesus, when this same wife's mother was ill, who healed her? Because they have put everything in Jesus' baskets. Jesus now has to take care of them. But is there any guarantee that Jesus says that in this life, everything, you will be healed, you will get everything? No, there's no guarantee. All he says is follow me. The same Matthew 9:9. Before your question, let's just read Matthew 9:9. It's in the same, and then you ask. Sister Ronki, so are you hearing, you know, those who are following Jesus? So I agree with what you said. Jesus has to place the demand on you for you to sell your house. The question is that those who sell their houses, for what motive? Is it because Pastor said that if you sell your house, you will get this in return? Because Jesus has never transacted business with anyone to say, if you do this, I will do this. Okay. 9:9. Is it Matthew 9:9?
Luke 9:9, you said.
Luke 9:9.
Yeah.
Matthew 9:9. Okay, sorry, Matthew 9:9.
Matthew 9:9.
The person who wrote the book himself.
Matthew 9:9.
Mm.
As Jesus passed on from there,
mm-hmm.
he saw a man named Matthew.
Who did he see?
Matthew.
Matthew, go on.
Sitting at the tax office.
Where was that? Where was Matthew?
At IRS.
Matthew was at work, but he worked for IRS. But he didn't work for American IRS, actually. He worked for the Nigerian IRS.
Uh-oh.
Okay, go on.
And he said to him, follow me.
Follow me. And what?
So he rose and followed him.
He waited until after work. Matthew went back home. He did what?
He rose and followed Jesus.
He rose and followed him. Okay. We won't open it. Sorry, you had a question. Yes.
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 So,
blindly. But we will come to something else. We'll come to something else, which I'll make you understand. Yes, Sister Tom.
What I was going to say was that I believe when God, before you do all these things you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
you have to have a one-on-one
mm-hmm.
with God. And it's not going to be smooth. God might say, leave it. You might, if he says, leave it, and he wants you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that, but he's going to help you get there so that it's not when someone says, go and do this, that you do it. It's only when you know that you know God is saying it. So that when people stand up and say, go and do this, go and sell it. That's not about discipleship. That's not what you're talking about.
Mm.
You're talking about a one-on-one with you and Christ. And for everybody, it's different.
But who makes that determination?
God.
Because the person we read about, Matthew, we didn't read that he got there. He was a tax collector. He was a sinner.
No, what I'm saying is, yeah, but it was God that said to him, it was Jesus that said to him, it wasn't someone who stood on the altar and said, oh, go and sell your house.
Okay.
To follow but me.
There are some people who will stand on the altar
mm-hmm.
and say, God demands your house of you. They will say that because the Spirit of God is within them to say it. So it's as well as God saying it.
Yeah, but God will still confirm it in you, right?
Huh?
God will confirm it in you.
Yes, God will confirm
That's
it in
what
you.
I'm saying.
But you still have to make the decision.
Yeah, but God. Okay, so if you tell me, go and sell your house,
yes,
right? I have to have the conviction that God is the one telling you to tell me them.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I have to go back and make sure
yes,
that is what God wants me to say, not you saying it because you want me to sell my house.
Okay, but God will bring it, whether it is the pastor
that's what
or
I'm
somebody.
Saying. Yeah.
Yes, God will
but,
bring it.
I'm saying that for those who... We know places when someone who has nothing and they say, oh, go and bring your car to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens a lot. So that
My sister,
people need to differentiate.
I am telling you again, if anybody tells you to bring your house, look at it, 90 to 100% of the people who did that, it was because they had something that they were promised. I have not seen one church where they'll say, God tells you to bring your house. You're not getting anything back. And they willingly put it down. It was because, yes, Brother Wale.
I think I just quickly wanted to emphasize something you said earlier. When you started the sermon, you pointed out that you are not talking about giving up stuff. You pointed out that you are talking about Christ asking for the life. And I think that was the first major point you made, that this is much greater than,
house.
And I think one thing you also said is once that life is given up, all the things that we think
Everything else is impossible to
give up will be a breeze. And I think that's the, from the passage you read. It's, and every follow me here has been giving up your life for the
Lord. once you see, I once read about some prisoners of war and what happened to them was that eventually they were rescued. I think it was American prisoners of war. Eventually they were rescued and they asked them, how did you endure all the torture and suffering in prison that you are not, you didn't give up until you are rescued? And that might say something. It has not left me till today. Except the first few months, you know, everything about me was good. So I still cared about myself. But after not having toothpaste and toothbrush for months, and my teeth began to rot, my hair began to fall out, that there was nothing I could hold on to of myself again, I was as good as dead. At that point, nothing they did to me mattered any longer. Many of us, we still hold on to stuff because we think that I own this, you know, I own this. We still have to struggle with you to come to prayer because you think that, well, when it's convenient for me, I can serve him. When it's convenient for me, I can come. Anytime I want, he's always there. That is you paying the price of discipleship. You don't know the cost of discipleship. Because God demands for your life on his own terms, not promising you anything in return. Not promising that you, every time you are ill, you will be well. Not promising that you would live a right, you know, you'll live to 80, and if by reason of strength, you'll be 90 or 100. He doesn't promise you. Do you know why he doesn't promise you anything? Because Jesus said that this is eternal life. To know who? The true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. When you know the true God, you see, and this is why I started from what I read. Who do you say Jesus is? You will have to answer that question yourself. Because who you say Jesus is will also be directly correlated to what you want to give up. If you say Jesus is Elijah, well, you might give up a few things. But if you ever say Jesus is the Son of the living God, and you know the living God owns everything, has created everything, then you know that the demands placed on you to give up everything is because your very life belongs unto him. Then when you're able to give up your life, brothers and sisters, giving up anything else is child's play. Giving up land, giving up anything else. Fee, giving up makeup, giving up boyfriend. I'm only joking with you. Yes, sir. I'm coming to you, sir. No, it's not in the Bible. It's just people saying it.
Okay.
People who don't know God.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say.
Because the reality is God will help those who cannot help themselves. Because God wants you to come to the place where your weakness, he wants to perfect his strength to say that in your weakness, I am strong. I'm the one. So you be weak and let me be. Just put all your trust in me and let me show myself on your behalf.
Because I hear good Christian people use that word too. God mm-hmm. help those who help themselves.
You hear it here now. This kind of message I'm preaching, you won't hear it elsewhere.
No. Yes. This is the reason why I come here.
Okay. My sister.
Okay, so we talk about the word of God.
Yes.
Because you said God doesn't promise us everything or anything.
He does. Right? On this side of eternity, that's what I'm saying. On this earth,
okay,
there's no guarantee. When he says, come, follow me, it is not transactional. He doesn't say, we'll not heal you.
Yeah, but you're saying he won't promise it. I mean,
he doesn't promise you that if you come follow me, everything will be fine.
So what about the word of God? Because there are promises in the word of God.
Like
by his stripes, we're healed.
Okay, let's read that scripture.
Okay.
Okay, go to that scripture. I think it's in Peter. Is it First Peter? Yeah, there's Isaiah, and it was also quoted in the New Testament. Sister Shade, can you find the reference? Let's read the one in the Old Testament first. Okay. What does it say?
He was wounded for our transgressions.
For what?
Transgressions.
What is transgression?
That's
he was wounded for our sin. Okay? He was
bruised
for our
iniquities.
Okay, go on.
The chastisement for our peace was upon him.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Go on.
And by his stripes we are healed.
Okay. He was wounded for what?
Transgression.
So that what is the result of him being wounded for your sin?
By his stripes you're healed. His stripes you're healed.
No. He was wounded for
our transgression.
What's your transgression?
My sin.
Okay, so when he was wounded, so when your sin is taken away, what do you become? You got become pure, become righteous. Then he was what? He was bruised for our iniquities. So now you're being righteous. Is your flesh the one that is righteous? Eh? Because your flesh will do what? It will die. Okay. So it is your spirit now. You receive a new spirit. Because that is the one that will live eternally. He was wounded for your transgression. He was bruised for your iniquities. That's like sins also. Because the evil heart, he took it away. He's now put a new person. So you can actually say with all truth, the land day of yesterday is not the land day of today. I could say it beating my chest. Because I knew who I was before. And when I became born again, I knew who I was. That some people who tell me that you're not the same person. I knew the. Yes. So it might actually be physical. Yes. 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 Yeah. In this context. But you see, what I'm trying to make you understand. The priority of Christ is that your soul, your spirit lives eternally beyond your flesh that will die. So he doesn't give a guarantee to that we will perish, but he's able to guarantee that which will live with him eternally. That is why it is not everybody, even Paul, it is not everybody that he prayed for that was healed, because he said, I left one of his servants in Miletus sick. He could have prayed for Timothy to be healed from his stomach, whatever it was. He said, Timothy, use a little wine for this your constant stomach what's it, gastro, perhaps help me. Gastro, whatever it is. Yeah. But then, did Paul heal people? Yes, he did. Was Paul guaranteed to heal anybody he prayed for? No, because it was the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes, God does heal. By his stripes we are healed. But there is a higher thing beyond your physical healing. So you cannot say, if I pray and God doesn't heal me, I can forget about God. Some people do say it. It's the people, because, and that is why I'm trying to make you understand the difference between the cost and the price. Some people think they've paid the price to follow Jesus, but the price they've paid is well, way lower than the cost of discipleship. It's way lower than the standards that Christ has set. And that is why I beg you, if I've ever in this church made you think that transaction with Jesus, if you come, he will give you any desire, anything that you want, he will give you. Anything that is, he will make it well. No, please, forgive me if you've had that from me. Jesus is not transactional. If you want to follow me, follow me. There were some, he said, if you want to come become part of me, you will eat my flesh, you will drink my blood. I said, many of his disciples, how can me eat your... They said, from then, what did they do? They turned away from him. Did he say, okay, I didn't mean that. Come, please come back. Rather, Jesus turned to the 12. Are you also going? We are the ones who want to pay the price. That is, whatever price you want to pay, pay it just so that you will stay. Jesus has never transacted with anyone. If you can take it, take it. But you know something? What he said, when he comes into his own kingdom, those who have paid that price, he will honor them before his Father. Because, you see, it's because we haven't got a glimpse of eternity that we think the 70 or 80 years. And Paul, he got it right when he said, you know what Paul suffered? You know what Paul suffered? Yet Paul said, the temporary light. I can't imagine it. That man who went through what he went through. The temporary light affliction. They cannot, and it's true. It's temporary. But if you've seen, But everybody, you have to answer the question, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? So that when he says now, come, follow me, you know the demands he's placing on you. We'll continue from here next week by God's grace. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as I prayed before I started, not all of us can bear things like this, but I pray for the grace to be able to hold on to you. You have never lowered a standard for anybody. You have never gone back to ask anybody to follow you. We've all followed you because we found grace in your sight. And so, Father, I pray for myself as I pray for all of us, oh Lord. We desire, we want to be disciples. We know the price is a very steep price, because it's the cost of following you. You have never lowered your standard, but give us the grace. As you said, with man, it's not possible, but with you, it is possible. So please, Lord, give us the grace to be made disciples of yours. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Wale, please, will you take communion?